So I was at Half Price Books the other day, perusing the shelves when I came across a book entitled Greatest Team Ever. Maybe some of you can guess who was on the cover. That's right, the Dallas Cowboys in their glory days of the 90s. I fought the urge to buy it, but it looked fantastic. True to every word, I'm sure of it. I even took the liberty of texting a picture of the cover to a friend of mine who's a diehard Broncos fan. And I can say with conviction that he does not share the same opinion that I do. And that's just it. When it comes to greatness, there are many opinions on the subject. I haven't lived here very long, but I have lived here long enough to know that just because someone is in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex does not mean they necessarily subscribe to the creed that Dallas is America's team. Preferences abound when it comes to discussing the greatest sports team or even the greatest athlete. One person thinks Dallas, but the other person thinks Steelers. One thinks Yankees, the other thinks the Lakers. Aikman was a tremendous passer, but so was Bradshaw. There was Ruth before Aaron, Magic Johnson before Kobe, and we're just talking sports here. When it comes to discussing greatness, we could also talk about music. We could talk about politicians. Just who is the greatest president? Is it Washington? Could it be Lincoln? What about Kennedy? What about FDR? And how do you know? How do you formulate an opinion on the subject of greatness? Muhammad Ali was a three-time world heavyweight champion and even boldly said, "I am the greatest." Dallas does have five Super Bowls under their belt, but that certainly does not sway everybody. The question is, what do you think of when you measure greatness? That question brings on a load of answers. And that's why rarely do people agree on who or what is the greatest. Everybody has their own criteria for determining greatness. Accomplishments matter. Things done in the eyes of the world matter if you want to be considered great. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sports teams do get paid to win. The politician does want to do great things for his people. And it's not a bad thing at all to want to achieve and move up the ladder in one's job. Aspiring to achieve and attain lofty goals are good characteristics that, at the end of the day, may have some people calling you great. The world sees greatness in a particular way. God, on the other hand, sees greatness in a particular way, and the two do not always go together. The disciples were a close-knit group who followed Jesus, but they were not immune to the temptation of wanting to be great. Maybe they did want to be seen in the ranks of Moses, Noah, Abraham, Isaiah, Elijah, David. These were certainly great heroes of the faith who boldly and faithfully served their God. Even still, the disciples were doing something that even the Old Testament heroes did not do. And that is, the disciples got to hang out with God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. They got to see Jesus do miracles, like exorcising demons out of children and giving sight to the blind. The Old Testament heroes of the faith, as great as these men and women were, they could only look forward to the Messiah, and yet the disciples got to hang out with him on a daily basis. Jesus had his enemies, no doubt about it. But Jesus was popular in Israel, and the disciples were in the spotlight. So it's no big surprise that it was only a matter of time before they began discussing among themselves just who is the greatest. Here we are laboring with Jesus of Nazareth. All eyes are upon us. Just who is the best? James and John? Sons of Thunder? Could it be Peter, the man who tried to walk on water to Jesus? We can only speculate on how their conversation went. Scripture doesn't give us the details. But what we do know, friends, is that when Jesus turns to them and he confronts them on what they were talking about. Suddenly, the disciples aren't so bold, but they become silent as they receive a lesson from Jesus on godly greatness and godly humility. Now, before getting to Jesus' teaching on this subject, let's start with the question. How is the Christian great in the eyes of a holy God? How is the Christian great to God? Now, many would say that's easy. No brainer. The Christian who does the most, that is the one who is great in the eyes of God. The one who accomplishes certain feats, that is the great person in the eyes of God. Just like Elijah, David, Isaiah, and all these heroes of the Old Testament faith did great things, the Christian who is great is the one who does the most, such as going on the mission trip to faraway lands or amassing great amounts of wealth in the name of God. The Christian who is not living a mundane and normal life, but the Christian who is passionate, excited about life, craving success above others, to many, that constitutes godly greatness. To be clear, friends, there is certainly nothing wrong with wealth if it is wisely used. We all agree that going on the mission trip to proclaim the gospel is a much needed task. And there is nothing wrong with wanting to move up in a particular job or vocation. The question I ask you is, does doing such things, doing these works of the law, make a Christian great in the eyes of God? And there are those who, without blinking an eye, would say, yes, they do. The Christian who does more, the Christian who is passionate, excited, achieving success in the world, is the Christian who is to be seen as being great. Doing the mundane is not enough, but God has called you to a greater purpose in this life. This teaching is rampant in Christendom. There's even a new book out called Greater, which teaches this sort of thing. And so that leads us to the question then. What about those who physically can't do these things? What about the very young? What about the elderly? Are they great? What about those who are sick, suffering, dying, wheelchair bound? Are these baptized Christians then great in the eyes of God? What about the mother who is faithfully serving her children every day, wiping snotty noses, changing diapers for not one penny? Some would call that mundane work. Is she then not great in the eyes of God? What about the faithful husband and father going to his job every day, working 9 to 5, and trying to get overtime whenever he can just to pay for bread for his family and secure a future for those he loves? Some would call that normal, mundane. Is he then not great in the eyes of a holy God? Brothers and sisters, when greatness becomes defined by what we do, by works of the law, if you're not doing something great in the eyes of the world, there are those who would say you are not achieving greatness measuring up to biblical proportions. But as Christians, we must remember how God defines greatness and how the world defines greatness are different. The works that God says are great and pleasing to Him do not always correspond with the works the world says are great and pleasing. It must have been a shocker for the disciples to hear Jesus say this, quote, "If anyone must be first, he must be last of all, and a servant of all. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The world tells us you have to be first to be great. Jesus says, no, to be first, you must be last and a servant of all. And he uses a child for an example. Speaking of children, as any parent knows, and as I have found out over these last 15 months, Parenting's hard work. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of time. You have to discipline rightly. Children take up a lot of resources, money, especially when they are young. And I suppose college as well. It's a full-time gig, and as we know, parenting doesn't pay one penny. In the eyes of the world, being a father, being a mother, is not glorified work. The world too often sees children as a burden. And the world tells us that if you find yourself pregnant and you don't want the child, that's easy. Just abort. Have an abortion, and you will not have to deal with such an unnecessary and expensive burden. Brothers and sisters, I tell you this day that that is an idea that has literally been spawned in the depths of hell. It sounds like a convenient solution, right? Just have the abortion and be done with it. It sounds like an inexpensive solution with no strings attached, and yet at the end of the day, it is no solution at all, but it is an act that causes much grief and much pain for those who later on in life look back and wish they had their child with them. Depression, despair can set in, and it does not go away anytime soon. Hear me. The gospel is for you. The forgiveness of sins is richly yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ. A world that sees children as a burden and a drain on time and resources, a culture that says very loudly people do have the right to kill the infant in the womb if they do not want the child, a world that sees greatness defined by what we do and accomplish, friends, against all of that, Jesus declares in his mighty word, "Whoever receives one such child in my name, and whoever receives not me, but him who sent me." This is coming from a God who is great enough to create the cosmos by his mighty word. This is coming from a God who is great enough to destroy nations and remove pompous rulers with a breath. This comes from a God who is great enough to part seas and resurrect the dead. This comes from a great God who took on human flesh and after healing a demon-possessed boy, an act that only God can do, he turns to his disciples and Jesus says something that is totally contrary to worldly greatness. He looks at them and says, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. And when he is killed after 3 days, he will rise." God would humble himself to the point of being shamed, disgraced, humiliated in the eyes of the world as he would be delivered into the hands of men, put on the cross, crucified, and died. If you want to see true humility, if you want to see a pure example of service, look to your Lord Jesus and the humility he willingly underwent. Bleeding, dying on the cross to achieve, friends, the greatest feat that the world has ever known. And that is atonement for all of your sins, even your secret, deep, dark sins, forgiven in full by the blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of his humble sacrifice on the cross, friends, that is greatness. And by faith in his word and promise, you are great. Why? Because you are forgiven. Because the wall of sin separating you and God has been knocked down. Your sins have been taken care of in full by your Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom you have a righteousness that surpasses anything the world could ever give. All the greatness in the world cannot compare to the greatness you have by possessing the gift of righteousness and forgiveness by faith in the one who died to declare you forgiven, your Savior Jesus. And so to conclude, no matter what work you are doing, Christian, whether it is being a parent, working that steady 9-to-5 job, being a student going to college, being a student in high school or even elementary school, serving your neighbor by washing their clothes, cooking their food, or being by their bedside during their last hour. However you serve your neighbor, remember the words of your Lord, who commands us to love and serve one another. And whatever God commands, friends, it is great and it is right despite what the world thinks. Whatever God commands is good and it is right, not because we make the work great, but because it has been uttered out of God Almighty. And finally, friends, brothers and sisters richly forgiven in Jesus Christ, no, it is not by our profession, our work, or whatever vocation we have been called into that we are great in the eyes of God. But your greatness comes from being forgiven in the name of Jesus. Your greatness comes because right now you are an heir by faith in your Lord, an heir to righteousness, eternal life, and the glory of God. This is a greatness that the world cannot give. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.